Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Onceable, Hypeable's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Brittany, Kristen, Karen, and Laura. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Are we all excited for season 4 of Once Upon a Time?
Yes.
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 I know. So good. So tonight was the first episode of the season, and it heavily featured the ladies of Frozen, which is not surprising because everything is Frozen these days, is it not? So let's start off with how we felt about the episode. Thumbs up, thumbs down, maybe a thumb sideways. So, Kristen, why don't you go ahead and kick it off?
I'm going to say thumbs up. I quite enjoyed it. The little snow monster action was a little bit crazy, but for the most part, I thought they did a good job of blending both stories, and they spent enough time on each. So I would say thumbs up.
Okay, Brittany?
I'm going to go thumbs up. I was not looking forward to Frozen after a summer of covering the news on just being frozen, 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 frozen. But I actually enjoyed Anna and Elsa, and they weren't as annoying as I was anticipating them be. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. And like Kristen said, it balanced with the other stories really well. It wasn't too dominant.
Okay. Laura.
I'm actually going with a thumb sideways on this one. I think because I'm one of 5 people on the planet who hasn't seen Frozen. And I was a little confused with different elements of the Frozen story. Some parts I just didn't understand and I just didn't get. And also I was very upset with Regina and Mr. Gold's storyline. So I would say that's why I'm a thumbs sideways.
Karen?
I'm going to go thumbs up. I definitely enjoyed the Frozen aspect of it. I think they did a really good job of introducing it without making it too overpowering. And the fact that it's not a rehash of the story, but it's what happens afterward, is going to make it really exciting. And it was just nice to come back to all the characters that we haven't seen in so long.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a thumbs up, too. I think it has a lot of room to grow. And it, like you pointed out, Karen, it wasn't too much of the rehash of Frozen. It's taking it into a new place. I'll tell you guys this. The actress that's playing Elsa, she was on another show this summer called Reckless. And she was not a good girl on this show at all. So I'm watching it and I'm like, wait. And so it kind of took me out of Elsa for a minute, because all I could remember is the show that I literally just finished watching with her in it, where she was way more devious and sleeping with everybody. And like, it was a little jarring for me, but she's very good at being Elsa. So that's awesome.
Yeah, all I could see while Scott Michael Foster was on screen was Cappy. I was like, oh my God, Kristoff is so Cappy. So I was kind of doing the same thing.
But it was kind of cute. I didn't mind the Cappy.
It is. It's that, adorable.
Yeah.
I love Cappy.
Because Kristoff and Cappy, they could be buddies, man. I could see that happening.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah.
Okay, so for the Frozen version here, just so I understand who's who, Elsa is the girl with the blonde braid, and
she's
Anna
the
is the girl
freezes
with the pink.
Stuff.
Got it. And then Anna is the one with
redhead.
The heels. And then who's the dude with the reindeer?
Kristoff is Anna's fiance.
Oh, okay.
That's who she's marrying. That clearly
really?
Has honed. Yes.
The guy who looks like he mugged Will Ferrell and took his elf costume.
The costume is not that bad. There are no tights in that costume.
I'm just hoping they get him some new digs in a little bit. My God. I mean,
he
didn't fit him very well.
I mean, seriously, I was having a moment of, it was like a cross between Will Ferrell in Elf and Herbie from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And with the reindeer in the back, it did not help. So I'm not feeling this dude so much. So I really hope we get him new clothes, because I was having a real tough time with him. Okay.
Yeah, I make no promises. That's kind of the attire they rock in Arendelle. So we're just going to go with that. All right, let's talk about some quotes. Start with favorite quotes. Karen, you go ahead and rock your favorite quote first.
Sure. Mine is from Regina, and it was when she said, "The more you try to help, the worse my life becomes." And she said that to Emma, and it was just really sad. I'm just very sad for Regina. She was so close to her happy ending, and then it was taken from her, and I'm not really looking forward to her walking the line once again, whether or not she's going to be good or bad, but I just thought it was a deep line anyway and made me have all sorts of feelings again.
All right, Laura, how about you? Robin Hood quote, not shocking.
Yeah, I know. Wild surprise that I am incredibly attracted to Robin Hood right now. I'm shipping Robin and me, but just anyway. So,
That will not be on the ship of the week, I'll have you know.
yeah, no, it will not. Seriously, right? So anyway, my quote is, I may be a thief, but I have a code. Otherwise, what kind of life am I living? So that was mine because I felt like that is
Very profound.
so Robin.
Kristen, go ahead.
I have to put a disclaimer that Sven was my absolute favorite part of Frozen. I have both of the Sven stuffed animals, so if I could have quoted Sven's reactions to some of the things going on in that scene, I would have. But as he
It.
doesn't actually speak, mine is from the Anna Elsa scene with them in the attic, and Elsa says, "Tell me I don't have to walk down the aisle with Sven." And Anna says, "He's not the best man, but he is invited."
Didn't she make a comment? He'll be appropriately attired.
Yeah, I love it.
Who is Sven?
The
The reindeer.
reindeer.
He's
Oh.
Kristoff's little buddy. In the movie, he's very animated and
Yeah.
adorable.
Yeah, he's yeah. I was
Okay.
thinking
Okay,
about
Laura, the
you.
next time I come to visit Laura, you're watching Frozen. It's done.
Yes.
Like, I can't do this anymore.
Okay.
We're watching it. It's fine. I've only seen it like a bajillion times because my niece is in love with it. She even
Same
has
here.
an Elsa costume with the Elsa wig for Halloween.
So does mine.
Yeah. The funny part is when we went to buy her Halloween costume, she couldn't decide if she really wanted the Elsa one because they also had an Incredible Hulk one. I'm not even kidding. Because
Yes.
she, you know, I'm like, no
Awesome.
joke, this girl is like perfect because she's like, but Auntie, they have the Hulk. And like, if you guys know, every time I go to like a Comic-Con or something, I have to buy her something Hulk because she loves the Avengers, but specifically Hulk is her guy. She calls him the big green guy. She's like, he's my big green guy. Like, I'm not even kidding. So there.
He's
Anyway,
amazing.
yeah, it's hysterical. We just had a Frozen birthday party for her, so I posted the pictures. You guys probably saw them of all of the things that we made for like the little kids. It was pretty funny. So, listeners, if any of you want to have a Frozen birthday party and you need party favor ideas, let me know. All right, so Brittany, now that we've talked all about that, why don't you go ahead and tell us what your favorite quote was?
Mine, no, sh I know I'm new here, but no shocker, is going to be
A hook
between
quote?
Emma and Hook. And I know I come off in all of my hyperbole posts as clearly a Captain Swan fan. So when after Regina defeats the snowman and they're in the woods, Hook says, "Well, crisis averted." And Emma replies, "Want to go home and see what's on Netflix?" And he just gets all smiley and he says, "I don't know what that is, but sure." And he's just so happy and oblivious that Emma is trying to blow him off until 5 seconds later. And it's adorable, and my heart melted.
Oh boy. We're all kind of Captain Swan shippers, so you'll be fine here. It'll be all right, but we're gonna have to balance it out a little bit.
I
Or
miss
it's gonna have to come with
Rachel.
strong Robin Hood effects because, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think my heart just melted because it's been such a long time.
So you haven't had enough Hook lately,
Yeah.
anyway. Okay, I'm with you. All right. So my favorite quotes, I have two because I feel like I can. The first one happens to be a Hook quote. I'm just throwing it out there. And it says, there's always a crisis. Perhaps you should try living a life during them or you might miss it. And this is when Emma is trying, in the beginning, is trying to be like, oh, yeah, there's always something going on. And he's like, yeah, that's kind of the point. There's always going to be something going on. And the other one was from Regina, where she's like, mirror, mirror on the wall, show me the one I want to kill most of all. Oh, Regina. Anyway,
I
I love
feel like
Regina.
that's progression for her character, though, considering it wasn't like Snow White or Emma, it was Marion, which
Well,
I understand, like it makes
yes.
sense, but I feel like
Yes.
that's a step in the right direction for her.
I also feel like she was very reluctant when Sydney was like, oh, you want me to be your arm of murder and death? And
oh, yeah.
You're getting a little intense about that whole situation. But she was like, no, that's not what I want. I want you to show me who she is, first of all, because I don't have a clue. And second of all, I'll go back and take care of it back then when I was that person. So she's clearly making a distinction kind of thing, which I thought was really interesting, too. We'll get into that in a little bit. So let's talk about Anna and Elsa. So besides Laura, everyone else here has seen Frozen, yeah?
Yes.
Yep.
Excellent. So how do you feel about the characterization of Anna and Elsa? Is it similar to what we've seen in the animated movie?
I think so. I was actually really hesitant going into this because I really do like Frozen a lot. And when we saw a sneak peek of this at Comic-Con, I was not on board with the sisters. I just felt like the scene that we saw was really stilted, and I just wasn't very excited for it. But having seen the whole episode, I think they actually did a fantastic job, especially with Anna. I was really worried about her because she's so peppy and funny and awkward and quirky, and they really brought that out in the couple of scenes that she was in. So I think that it's going to be a good half of the season to have them around.
I completely agree. I was really nervous about Anna. Like, Elsa, she's very, like, you know, stoic, and, you know, mm-hmm. she doesn't really emote a lot, so there's not a whole lot to get wrong. You just have to kind of understand her, which is, I don't think is that difficult, but Anna is so, like, hard on her sleeve and intense and in the moment that can come off very over the top very quickly, and they managed to do it really, really well. It wasn't too in your face. Like, she was very, very well done, as you know, she very close to the movie, and I really liked that. So
now here's the thing from my perspective. Again, I'm one of like five people in the universe who have not seen this movie. I loved Anna, like, right away. I really, really warmed up to her. I adored her. I didn't like Elsa. I thought she was really boring. But if that's kind of the point, it seems like. But right. I'm curious, like I said, obviously I'm in the minority not having seen this movie, but I'm just wondering if there's anybody else out there who has not seen the movie and got the same take that I did, that Anna was incredibly interesting. And to me, Elsa was just really, really flat. And I'm just curious if any other non-movie people have that same perspective as I did.
It'll be interesting to find out and see how people respond to it. So, Brittany, do you have any feelings on how they were characterized?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're going to... I loved Anna and Elsa, but I don't know if we're going to talk about Kristoff. I did not like Kristoff at all.
Yeah.
I was very rough. Excited about the casting, and it failed. It, like, fell... That was the one part of this episode that just, like, fell apart. He was so... boring and just not the Kristoff from the movie that I really enjoyed.
I'm maybe kind of more hoping
like charisma or something.
I'm hoping that if he gets some more interaction with Anna, that maybe it'll warm up a little bit, because he doesn't really interact with Elsa like at all in the movie. Like, it's very little, if anything. Him and Anna spend most of their time together, so I'm kind of holding off judgment on him until we see her, and I love him, so.
Yeah, but other than that, I really liked Anna a lot more than I was anticipating liking her, just because she is very peppy and loud, and I was worried that they were going to try and overdo it in order to shove it in your face a little bit, that Frozen, 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 we're here. But I think that her character played out perfectly, and with what Laura said, like, Elsa is a very flat character, just because I think she has to be. She's trying not to freak out in Storybrooke, and you see what happens when her emotions get the best of her. But I'm looking forward to seeing more of Elsa actually interacting with people.
Yeah, rather than running around town hiding.
Yes. Yeah.
I think they were both pretty well. I agree with you guys about Anna. I think she's fantastic. And I was really worried about Anna because all I hear is Kristen Bell's voice and her peppiness in my head.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, oh, if we lose that, that's going to be a problem. So, all right. So let's see. So we see some things that happen during this episode with their family, Anna and Elsa's family. So we see the very opening scene is Anna and Elsa's father are in trouble on the ship. They're clearly going somewhere. It's the same as the opening of, or not the opening, but part of the movie. And with this, we see the mother write something down on the paper. What do you think is going on with them?
Oh, well, aren't they? I just because of reading this online, I thought that they were going to find the source of Elsa's powers or some person who can help control it or explain at least where it comes from.
Right. But what do you think she left them on the note? Why do you think she felt she had to write that down and put it, like, toss a bottle into the ocean?
I think because of exactly what played out in the episode, where if she knows that the girls are probably going to be going through this stuff because she has this strong feeling that she's not going to make it, that she wanted to explain herself and say, this is where your father and I were going and what we were trying to take care of. That's what I thought anyway.
Okay. Or I thought it was some kind of cure or some kind of, like, this is the name of the person you have to see, or, like, it's obviously some sort of incredibly vital information. I don't know if it's a cure or a directive to see someone or, like, a particular magic spell or something, but that's what I was interpreting it as.
Okay. And so why do you think that, in this case, the Enchanted Forest is called Misthaven?
I think it just might have been a translation error.
Or timelines, too. Like, oh, you know, timelines. You're never sure, like, are we talking post-curse, after-curse, in-between-curse? Which curse are we talking about? So I feel like I'm not really clear as to what the timeline of this occurrence is. So I could see it being Misthaven depending upon what the timeline is. And I just don't feel like we're very clear on what the timeline is.
It just said a very long time ago.
Yeah.
It kind of made me laugh. I'm sorry. Okay, so do we have anything else on Anna and Elsa and their whole segment in the story?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what she has to do with gold and the necklace in the shop. Oh, never mind. We're going to get there. So, no, I'm good. I just feel.
It's really okay. Curious why they were going to the Enchanted Forest. Like, who could they possibly have been meeting? Because I feel like everything always comes back to Rumpel, and I just wonder if they were going to him for some advice or spell or something like that.
See, I didn't take it as Rumpel. I thought it was maybe Zelina.
Oh.
I'm on the same page as Karen. I definitely thought it was Rumpel.
Because Rumpel is the one that ended up with her in this secret vault that he doesn't ever want anyone to be in. And yes. Here's the thing. This is how we know it happened so, so long ago. Is because when Emma was in the past, that's when Elsa came through with them, right? So think about how long ago it was that they went into the past. It was before Snow and Charming were together.
Oh, that's true.
So it was quite a bit ago. If she came back through, she was already in the vault, in the urn. So that's a long time.
Look, trying to figure out the timeline on Once Upon a Time is as bad as trying to figure out family trees. I'm not even gonna think about it.
It really is.
Well, it just in general, like that concept of time, she was in the vault right. when Emma and Hook went back in time. So at that point in time, Snow and Charming weren't together yet. So that was a long time ago. Anyway, moving on to Regina and her issues, just in general, because poor Regina has a lot of issues. First, there is the issue with Marion, and Marion is still screaming at the top of her lungs at the beginning of the episode that she's a murderer, she's a killer, why do you all like her? She's a little caught up on that. She can't kind of just let it go, if you will. So what do we think about that? Because Regina is trying. She truly is. But Marion's like screaming like a banshee about how dangerous she is.
I kind of liked that it was somebody, not that I liked Regina getting yelled at, but I did like that it was somebody who wasn't like a character that we've known for the past couple of years talking about, oh, the evil queen, because I feel like you get immune to it at a certain point. You know, and they knew her as Madam Mayor and all that jazz. I actually kind of liked somebody who was not interconnected to any of that, just going, oh my God, this is who she is. Like, I just think that it was sort of refreshing to have somebody else call her evil who truly knew how evil could be, whereas the other characters, like, I don't know, it's a different perspective. I just thought it was interesting to see like a common person's perspective on Regina, but at the same time, I felt very, very bad for her, and particularly who Marion is. I mean, there's just no easy way out of that at all.
I did really love that everybody came to Regina's like rescue. Like one by one, they all came out and said, "Regina, are you okay? Like, are you okay? What? How are you doing? Like, what's going on?" It wasn't like, "What's going on here?" You know, they weren't trying to coddle Marion at all. It was just they were focused on like what's happening with Regina. Is she okay? And I thought that was really sweet.
I also think it kind of shocked Marion when she realized that Snow and Charming were like, "Oh, Regina." And she's like, "Oh, wait, what? You two are even nice to her? Like, what planet am I on right now?" So I think it was a little jarring for Marion in that respect. But interesting all the same. So then we move from there, and Regina being Regina is clearly just, again, really angry about the losing true love. Because she has a point. She never gets to have it very long. Her happiness is always fleeting. And I feel bad for her. I love Regina. Like, she's come so far. So what we see next is that she's decided she wants to kill Marion. But she doesn't want to kill Marion now. She wants to go back in time to kill her. And in order to do that, she needs the help of her lovely mirror. So she frees Sydney, who she's been keeping in the insane asylum where she kept Belle. Because isn't that where you keep your magic mirror? And so they kind of have this, like, moment where Sydney is very, like, "Ooh, you've called me. Who am I going to kill? How am I going to..." He's a little creepy. What did you guys think of Sydney when he was all, like, "I will be your hand of death. What shall I do?"
Yeah, I feel like he's changed quite a bit, which, I mean, if he's been locked up for that long, I guess that makes sense. I was glad to see him back just as a sort of throwback to the earlier seasons when he was around a lot more. But I'm not sure I like the direction that he's sort of subtly pushing Regina in, because she's changed a lot while he was gone. He doesn't necessarily know that. So he's sort of like planting all of these ideas in her head. And it's obvious that she's struggling with it. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I had a really hard time with it, too. I think for most of that whole scene, I was just going, "No, Regina, no, no." And, you know, she finds, you know, Sydney. And I just kept going, "No, no, 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 no." The whole time I was just like, "You've been down this road. Do not regress." I was so mad at Regina the whole time. And then I was also very conflicted with Sydney, because I felt like I was struggling, like, what side are you on? Are you on Regina's side, or are you just pretending to be on her side and you're going to double cross her? Like, I don't know. It was a very weird vibe for me, but the whole time I was just like rocking and going, "No!"
I was actually okay with that whole sequence. I thought it was good for Regina, because I think she needed to vent in that way privately and have someone just be on her side and not telling her, "Oh, but think about how far you've come." I think she needed to use Sydney to act as like her own devil's advocate for her intentions in a way, but not actually be able to do anything about it because this is in the past and he can only really show her things. So I was actually, I really enjoyed that whole sequence. As much as I don't want Regina to change and go back on everything that she's grown from, I really liked the way she worked through it, because she kind of came to a realization after everything she asked the mirror to do. She was like, okay, like she realized why, what happened, that she wanted, why she wanted to kill Marion. She then realized that the book is the problem. So I think it really, I liked that whole scene. I thought it was good for her.
Yeah, I can see that. At least she was the one showing the restraint when it came to wanting the killing done and stuff. So I guess that's good. It shows her growth in a lot of ways. So we go from there. She puts him back in his mirror because, conveniently, she has no idea who Marion is and why she would have killed Marion off anyway in the first place back in the past. So that was kind of entertaining to have to go back and see that. And moving on, Regina leaves the mausoleum or the tomb or whatever it's called, and the lovely snow beast is running through the woods and has managed to defeat basically everyone, is getting ready to stomp on Marion, and Regina actually saves Marion. Now, question is, did she save her because it was the right thing to do, or did she save her because she knew if she let her die, everyone would somehow blame her?
Can it be both?
It can be, sure. Yeah. Go for it.
Because I feel like she definitely hesitated. She definitely was thinking about letting it kill her, and then she decided not to. And I think, you know, she has been trying to do the right thing for so long that she really did want to save her just for the sake of saving her. But she's also very intelligent, and she knows how to manipulate people, and she knew that saving Marion was also the right thing to do in terms of getting Marion maybe to like her more, and the fact that Robin Hood would never forgive her if he found out.
That's a good point. I agree with you that I feel like Regina is very conflicted. I'm just hoping that the part about her then coming in to save her at the end isn't the part of some manipulative plan that she and Sydney are thinking of. I just really hope this wasn't, you know, some sort of calculated move. I'm going to be very, very disappointed if this season Regina reverts back. I'm having a real hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest issue too, is she's made a lot of progress, and at the end of last season she was remarkably different from where she was at the beginning, and so I just want to see her continue to progress that way. I don't want to see her go back to her former ways, and it's killing me a little bit inside every time she kind of reverts to an old way, and I'm like no. So I'm holding on to every hope that she's not gonna go back that way anymore.
Yeah, I took the destruction of the snow monster as one of those actions speak louder than words. She cannot, and no one seems to be able to get through to Marion by telling her that she's an okay person and she has changed from the evil queen. So by destroying the snow monster, it's like, look, ta-da! I'm still not going to talk to you though, so bye.
Oh, slightly off-topic question again from the person who has not seen Frozen. So obviously Elsa created the snow monster because she was upset. Can she uncreate something like that, or does it just have to run its course?
No, she can stop it.
Okay.
Because in the movie, that's actually, that's like exactly like the snow monster that's in the animated film.
Yeah, it looks just like it.
Even with the spikes that come out when he gets really mad, of that, that legitimately happens in the animated film.
And the getting mad when things are thrown at him thing is very much straight out of the
movie,
too.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't feel threatened, it kind of just goes away.
Lumbers around.
Yep. So, all right, so moving on. By the end of the episode, Regina no longer wants to go back in time to kill Marion. She wants to change the book because in her mind, it's not anyone's fault anymore that she can't find happiness. It's the book's fault because in the book, villains never get the happy ending. So, what do you guys think about that one? Because I find this fascinating. If we actually get to find the who wrote the book, or if she actually is able to change the book, think of all the mayhem that could create.
Oh my God.
That's like a nightmare. I was just like, to me, that's like as dangerous as time travel. Like, they already experienced how dangerous time travel is. To me, going back and finding the author of the book, that is just as dangerous as Emma having gone back and grabbed Marion and all that other stuff that happened the last time, like when they had Snow go back or Emma went back and she stopped the Charmings from meeting initially. Like, I think going to find the author of that book is tantamount to messing around in time travel. It's that dangerous.
I'm so excited, though, because this has been a huge question from the very beginning. The book, you know, how does it work and who wrote it? And we had all of that stuff going on with August. And, I'm so ready to meet whoever created the book.
I am very excited because if there's one character I wish we could see more, and we kind of can't. It's August. I loved him so, so much. So if this means that we have even the slightest chance of seeing August again, meaning maybe she's going back in time and she has to go to him to find out where he got it or whatever, I'm just excited we could see August again. So this is all very much fun for me.
Yes. Yes. So there's a lot of potential with that being one of the main storylines throughout this season, which would be really cool. Like, I'm kind of excited about that idea. So, and we'll get back to, there's another thing that comes up in a little bit that might be related to the book that we'll talk about. But for right now, let's talk about Robin and his feelings. Seriously. Ugh, Robin and his feelings. So, is he in denial about who he really loves?
No,
or is he just
knows
a confused
it.
Mess?
No, I think he completely knows. I think he even did it with his verb tenses where he said he loved his wife, past tense, and he kind of got over it. But now she's back and he has this vow and he's going to keep this vow. But he says, he clearly says, I loved her. I love you. But he cannot break his vow to the mother of his child. So... that's how I mean, and I just, that whole scene was just so heart-wrenching. I just loved how he was trying to explain where he was. And the fact that he was just saying to Regina, I know you better because I used to be like you. And I was just like, oh God, this needs to work out. Like,
right,
Marion needs to die from a dreaded disease or something.
And or fall in love with someone else.
This is the woman who like had a hissy fit when there wasn't going to be a Maid Marian on the show.
True.
Just putting it out there as a reminder.
Yeah, I know. I know. Exactly. But in this version, I just love, I really adore his version of Robin so, so much. And I just want him with Regina. And for me to want that, and I really didn't warm up to Regina as a character until this last season. So I don't know. But yeah, Marion needs like a disease or a heroic death or, you know, the common cold could even get her. I don't care.
Or maybe she just needs to fall in love with someone else and then
maybe that's
ta-da!
What comes back. He helps that situation out or something. Who knows?
No one has to die.
There we go.
So here's my other question. Was his confession to Gina, was it mean or necessary? Like, I feel like it was a little mean. Like it didn't need to be done the way it was done. That could just be me. But
honestly,
like,
sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Honestly, I thought it was completely necessary, and I was really glad that they decided to put it out in the open right in the beginning. There was no going back and forth. It's one of the things I hate the most, where somebody just, you know, can't tell somebody else the truth, and it ends up being this huge mess. Whereas here, Robin Hood told her exactly how he felt, that he loved both women and that he felt he had to stay with Marion. And I think it was the right thing to tell her so she knew exactly the situation that they were in. I mean, it still sucks so much. And somebody's going to get hurt somehow, some way. And right now it's Regina, but I don't know. I feel like it was totally necessary.
Yeah, I felt like he did the right thing. He certainly didn't do the easy thing, but I felt like he did the right thing.
And he made a decision. Like, he didn't waffle on it, which drives me crazy, just like Karen. Like, he made a decision and he's sticking with it, and that's how it's going to be. And I appreciate that quite a bit.
Anyone else remember Charming and Catherine and Snow? Glad we didn't have a repeat of that.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, moving right along. We're going this next topic. Rumple and Belle. Now.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're all on the same page with this.
Yep.
Just Rumple, I want to strangle him. It's not. Oh, man.
Balefire is going to get up out of that grave, find the dagger, and stab you with it. I was just like, are you a moron? Like, how is he there on Balefire's grave talking about everything his son meant to him? And then he's going down the same path. I'm like, what? What are you doing? I was so I was screaming no with the whole Regina thing. And by the time I got to with Rumpel too, I was going, really? 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 I was very annoyed.
Yeah. It was there's so many things about Rumpel that make me mad right now. So we have his confession at the grave, which clearly it's just basically a way for him to not feel bad about what he's done with Tabelle. Lying to her, killing Zelina, lying about that, and just being his naturally awful self. Then, okay, first of all, what's with the weird house?
Yeah, the mansion that came out of nowhere that nobody's claimed it isn't dusty.
And it doesn't have that it has this beautiful library. It has the odd little object, which we will get to in a bit.
Oh my gosh.
But like, really? Like, what is that about? And Belle's like, oh, I found it hiking. I didn't think it would be a big deal if we stayed here. No one's claimed it. I'm like, only in Storybrooke, kids. Yeah. Only in Storybrooke. So the house is a little interesting. Did you guys notice the very large, like, tall ship that was in the background in one of the shots? I was trying to be really good and, like, pause on some of the artwork and stuff everywhere, because I feel like there are always hints in that, like the decor in the background that we mm-hmm. don't notice. But the tall ship in the background was very much like the one that Anna and Elsa's father and mother were on.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's definitely there, kids. Couldn't miss that one. And then I was trying to look at the bust of the woman that was there, because at first I thought the bust was someone else, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then I paused it. I was like, okay, no good. Whew, because that would have been pushing it just a bit too far. So there was that. Like, the house is really interesting, and it has that really cool library that looks very much like the library from Beauty and the Beast.
Right. And well, they did the chandelier and the whole... Like, I was a little giggly during the scene where it was the dance and he was dressed like the Beast. Okay. And I was like, yeah, I was a little giggly.
Was it like cheesy? I mean, it was a little cheesy.
Yeah, but
I wanted it.
It was nostalgic. I mean, I'll give it that. It definitely nostalgic, but it had that cheese element. I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
It is Once Upon a Time, and they tend to get a little cheesy. I was actually a little bummed that the dance didn't last longer. I thought it was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was. And Robert Carlyle can actually legitimately dance. There's an entire movie out there with him dancing. He is not a bad dancer.
Also, about the house, I was just thinking, because... isn't Robin, like, living in a tent, and there's just this, like, abandoned, beautiful house in storage?
I noticed that when they went out to the woods.
He's living in a puppy tent.
He's like, living in a tent, and Marion's like, yes. Okay.
Yes, in his hot...
It's by choice and not by design.
Yes, in his hot-looking urban outfitter's gear, he's living in a pup tent, yes.
Okay, you know, I just figured Roland would like some, like, indoor entertainment.
You know, some, like, plumbing, things like that.
That needs to be a gift somewhere. Roland says, Daddy, can we have indoor plumbing? Seriously. It's got to be a gift somewhere. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, goodness me. All right. So, in the house as well, first of all, again, Rumpel shows his true colors when he, like, freezes Belle to, like, switch out daggers. Oh, Rumpel. And then... We go at the end of that scene after they've had their lovely dance and Belle's finally asleep. Rumpel goes back and looks at the trinket that he saw on the desk. Now, mind you, it looks like it's almost like barrel wood on the outside with little like diamond encrusted on the outside. And then the top of it looks like someone dropped a drip of water and it rippled into a pool. Do you know what I mean? And it's navy with stars. It's like a field of stars. Now... When I first saw it, I had a very distinctive feeling about where it may come from or what it could relate to. And then Rumpel took his dagger and touched it, and all my worst nightmares came true.
Yeah. The only thing it was missing was, like, the music underscoring it of the...
Like, why do we have Mickey Mouse's hat from Fantasia? What is going on right now?
But, okay... Here's the thing. It's not Mickey Mouse's hat.
What is it?
It's Yen Sid's hat. He is the... Okay. Mickey is the sorcerer's apprentice. Yen Sid is the sorcerer.
Right.
Either way,
Mickey Mouse is not coming.
Thank you.
Mickey Mouse is not coming.
Yeah, I was gonna. If Mickey Mouse was the writer of the book, I was gonna have a real problem with him talking to the Mouse ears.
Yeah, there was a lot going on for me in that moment. I was like, oh, no. But it makes more sense that Yen Sid would be someone that Rumple might be a little bit nervous about.
Yeah, fun and fact, could be the author of the book. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and fun fact, Yen Sid backwards is Disney.
Of course it is.
Just so, you know.
Well, the reason I paused to look at the bust in the room was I thought it was Walt Disney. I was like, oh, they did not do that. And I went back and looked, and thank God they didn't. Because that's odd. That's a little much. It's a little heavy-handed, you know? I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see how that aspect unfolds as well. Maybe he's is he a wizard or sorcerer that had something to do with Elsa? And maybe that's why they were going to look for
him. Yeah, maybe they were looking for him. They don't know how old he is.
Exactly. They can tie it all together through him, so... That would be interesting. Do you guys have any other thoughts about Belle and Rumple?
Ugh. I'm so mad at him.
Yeah. Those are the chief reasons why I was thumb sideways this episode, were just because of the really poor decisions by Regina and Rumple. And I felt like we have been down this road. Why are you guys going back to how you were? I was so mad.
Yeah, it is really frustrating. And I really hope that if one of them is going to go back to the way they were, that's fine. But if they revert both of the villains, per se, back to where they were, that'll annoy me. So I guess we'll see where that leads. I'm hoping it works itself out. But the reality of it is, Rumple's going to have to deal with what's happened. Do you know what I mean? There will be a consequence for Rumple. Because he always gets caught.
Right.
It takes a while, but he always gets caught. So.
Well, here's the thing, too. I feel like Rumple has taken a bigger step backwards than Regina is. Because feel like Regina is conflicted about, and she definitely did do the right thing at the end. I'm not sure what the motivation was, but she did the right thing. Versus Rumple is just trying to consistently justify his bad actions. And I don't feel like Regina is entirely doing that. So.
No, not at all. Not at all. All right, let's talk about Brittany's favorite couple, a little Captain Swan. So, we've talked about it a little bit. Emma is clearly blowing off Hook. What do we think her motivation is for that?
Well, I know in the episode she says that it's because she feels bad about Regina, but I think it's about Neil.
Lame! Yeah, that's a lame excuse. I'm not down with that.
That was so lame.
Because, you know, come on.
And yeah, she was like, because earlier she's like, oh, I haven't talked to Henry. And like, it's not Henry. It's not. It's you needing to deal with yourself.
Yeah, she's messy. Let's face it. Because she's clearly, like, she clearly wants to be with him. But at the same time, there's clearly something that doesn't work for her in relationships. It's definitely tricky. So it'll be interesting to see how that works itself out over the course of the season. And I think we called this when we talked about them in the article you wrote up about the ships, is that Emma and Hook, like, they couldn't just be happily ever after, because if that happened, then where would the story go? You know what I mean? Like, so
yeah.
We knew it was coming, but we just didn't know in what form, so.
Right. Well, I think it's also the difference between, you know, clearly, Emma had seen other guys in between meeting Neil, but Neil was obviously the very first love of her life, and she was obviously very in love with Neil, and I feel like Hook is the next love of her life, and I think that that's, like, a scary proposition to want to admit to yourself, having lost the first love of your life. So I feel like that's where a lot of it is coming from, as far as why she's pushing him off, in a sense. Like, she just doesn't, I don't know, she doesn't want to get too close to get hurt again. I don't know.
Plus, I mean, this kind of all started, you know, it's all taking place right after the finale. Like, there was no time in between, and a lot had just happened for her. Like, she had ruined her parents' like lives, basically, and then put them all back together and came back and everything was fine, and then the Robin thing happened with Marion, and I feel like she's just kind of panicked and in her own head, and I'm hoping that she'll kind of clear out and
right
and act and normal yeah. later.
and if that's not enough, there's a snow monster like rolling dumpsters down Main Street. So yeah.
Good times. Exactly. Good times. All right. So what do you think Henry will think of Emma and Hook being together? Will he be cool with it, or he'll be like, what, Mom, what are you doing?
I think he likes Hook. I mean, the time he's spent with them, I think he really likes Hook. I think he'd be on board to have Hook around. I don't know, you know, if Henry has real thoughts about who his mom is, like, with. But as far as, like, having Hook around a little more often, I think Henry'd be cool with it.
Yeah, I think what I think is funny, if you think about it, like, Emma's the cool mom that he didn't grow up with. I think Henry would be more weirded out seeing Regina kissing Robin than he would Emma kissing Hook, if that makes sense.
No, that absolutely makes sense. Definitely. All right. So last question regarding Emma and Emma, basically. What's the deal with her magic? Why is it so, like, lame? Like, why could she not take care of the snow monster?
I know. It was just like a poof.
So lame, right?
So sad.
I mean, give her a break, guys. She's still learning.
Right. Well, I also think she still hasn't fully embraced it. I think that was, like, a big theme of last year. You know, embrace your destiny. Yeah. You are the savior. You are. I mean, I still think there's a certain element of Emma that she doesn't fully believe all of that, or she's only ever able to believe it in an extreme moment of crisis because there's absolutely no other choice. I think it's really easy for her not to accept it in different other areas. You know, I think she still has her doubts, and I think that's how it manifests itself.
Which is clearly illustrated because they had to remind her she had power. Like, it was Emma, you're magic. And she was like, yeah, right. Okay.
Well, and everybody else who has magic, it's sort of corrupted them. If you think about Regina and you think about Gold and like Regina's mother, like everybody else she's met with magic, other than, say, the fairies, it's not been good. So I could see her not really wanting to play around with it.
Okay. So here's the other thing. At one point, Emma tells Regina, you know, Henry brought me back here to bring back the happy endings. So is that really Emma's job? Like, is that really why she's in Storybrooke? Not only to break the curse, but to bring the happy endings to fruition?
Well, I think she needs to have a mission now because there isn't an immediate threat with a curse right now. So she's kind of like interpreting her role in the town as she's adjusting to deciding to live there. That was I read that, I was like, oh, I guess that kind of makes sense that she needs to find a purpose because she needs to have one in her life in order to go on. And that is now her prime focus.
Yeah.
Is going to be trying to give everyone the happy endings. Except herself, because then she doesn't have to think about herself for a while. She's like, right. Oh, good, I'll focus on everyone else.
I'm busy with all these crises. I can't have a life.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I got to work on Prince Neil. He has a long future ahead of him.
Got to kind of... Where's Cinderella with her baby? Didn't she have a baby?
Kind of an infant. Like, oh.
Oh, goodness. All right, so let's talk a little bit about some of the things we noticed maybe within the story itself. Did you guys notice the troll statue?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You
no. love the trolls?
there was a troll. I missed it, totally.
Yeah, when Hook and Emma walk around the corner to go after Elsa, there's a planter, and in the middle of the planter is a big stone troll statue.
I think it showed up right after we came back from the troll story section. Once we saw the troll, when we came back, the statue was right on the corner and they ran past it.
Okay, can I ask a question? When we're talking trolls, the little, like, okay, so
stone,
back from the Frozen.
Stone trolls, yes.
So what, can somebody explain that to me? I was like, who is the little roly-poly guy with the grass growing on him talking to? Again, Frozen person was so confused.
Kristoff is raised by them. He's human, but he doesn't have parents. So he ends up with the trolls, and they raise him.
And they're the little roly-poly rock people with the moss on them?
Yeah.
Got it.
Them.
Okay.
Yes. So there was a troll statue that looked very much like them sitting in Storybrooke. Then we have the random Mickey hat, which, thank goodness, has been cleared up. Then we also had the snowflake, which was Anna's necklace, in Gold's shop.
Right. And it's a damaged necklace. Like, it's yes. not just, it looks like somebody's torched it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Anna was wearing it when
she was
on the boat. So
she was, which is not a good sign.
No.
And then we have the parallel between, now, Laura, you won't get this because you have not seen the movie, but for anyone that has seen the movie,
I wrote about this in my recap.
It's so good. Like,
so good. Oh my God. I so liked
it. I loved it.
So much.
For anyone who's seen the movie, during the song, Do You Want to Build a Snowman?, you have Elsa sitting on one side of the door and Anna on the other side when she locks her out, basically. And so Elsa's sitting and Anna's standing. And it, basically, it's like, I know you're in there, blah, 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 in the song. And Emma literally starts her sequence of words with, I know you're in there, I can see the light is on. And I'm just like, oh my God! So it's clearly this parallel between Anna and Elsa in Frozen and Emma and Regina. In Storybrooke. So I like that. I like that a lot. And we talked about the boat in the house too. Go ahead.
I think it's a really great way to kind of tie what's actually been going on in Storybrooke and all of the craziness that we know from the past three seasons with what happened in Frozen. Like, it's a really smart way to kind of relate the two stories because it's so true. Like, Regina and Emma have kind of related in the same ways that Elsa and Anna are in the movie. Like, for me, it just was like a light bulb. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, that's really, really awesome. And I love that they thought to, you know, kind of relate the stories that way rather than just putting Frozen in, like tying it all together. It was really cool.
It's like these little nuggets for the people who have seen the movie and stuff. So it's
yeah. And it doesn't like outcast anyone who hasn't.
Right. No, like it's just something a little extra, which I thought was really cool. So what are you guys hoping to see in next week's episode? We clearly see that Elsa is stuck someplace that's literally frozen and Emma's there too, and she's not doing very well. So what do you guys hope happens within that episode? Anything you're looking forward to?
I mean, at this point, I just want them to, like, meet Elsa and for them to, like, come face to face, which is obviously going to happen, but I was really disappointed it didn't happen in the premiere.
I want clothes for Hook and Marion. Like, we just need clothes to get them out of I want them in better clothes. And actually a house for Hook that's not Hook, but something that's not a pup tent for Robin would be nice.
Yeah. And I want Hook to have no more bad earrings.
Oh my God. That was worst ever.
The clip-on earring?
It was rough.
I really have to go back and look at this now. I totally missed it.
Not to do that camera angle ever.
Yeah, you cannot miss it in the forest. You can't.
Yeah.
It's like a close-up.
I mean, it's like one of the little screw posts like my grandmother used to wear in the 50s. Like, it was just like, oh my gosh, where did you get this from? So Colin O'Donoghue clearly does not really have a pierced ear. Oh, well.
All right. So for next week's episode, I don't know. I'm looking forward. I want them to meet Elsa and I want them to have good interactions. Although if they end up someplace in totally frozen and Emma's like literally freezing on the ground, something tells me it doesn't go well. I'd also like her backstory on what happened to Anna. You know, that's just me, but I think that would be really interesting to see as well. So go ahead.
You know what else I want to see?
What?
More Grumpy, because can we talk about Grumpy in this episode for a second? First of all, Sleepy driving the car, not a good idea. Poor decision making. Also, yeah. Grumpy is totally like the town crier. He just spreads panic wherever he goes.
I was thinking that.
Oh man, I missed him so much. You know, he's such a minor character, but everything he does is brilliant.
Oh goodness, yes. So more Grumpy on the list for Karen. That'll be fantastic. All right, so send us your thoughts on this episode, you guys. Leave them in the post. Of course, you can tweet at us at Once Upon News or leave us messages on any of the posts because Brittany writes all those fabulous news articles, and I'm sure she'd love to hear what you guys think about the latest episodes. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
I'm Brittany.
Yay, Brittany!
Yay!
All right, until next week, guys. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.